Welcome to Parenting Teens with Dr. Cam, the podcast dedicated to helping you tackle the challenges of parenting teenagers without the drama. I'm your host, Dr. Cam. Let's get on with the show. Are you a mom feeling overwhelmed by the demands of raising teens while chasing your own dreams and goals? You're not alone. According to a study by the Working Mother Research Institute, 60% of working moms feel guilty about the amount of time they spend with their children. Today, we're diving deep into this common challenge with our special guest, Heidi Schalk. Heidi brings a wealth of insights from her own experience as a mom, business strategy coach, author, and speaker. Heidi specializes in empowering women to achieve their goals and build successful businesses while balancing family life. She's also the host of the Be She podcast and has been featured on major networks like Fox, ABC, NBC, and CBS. Heidi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Cam, and thank you for having me. I am so excited to talk with you today about this conversation.
Me too. This is so important. So let's just start a little bit about you. What inspired you to empower moms to basically chase their dreams?
Oh, it started about 6 years ago and when I was moving through a divorce. So I found myself at the divorce table, the mediation table, and I had been a stay-at-home mom up until that point. And now I needed to figure out a way to provide an income and a life for my kids and myself. So I was trying to figure things out. I was working two jobs and I found, you know, a coach online who was like, you can build a business. And they made it look so easy. So I was like, oh, of course, this is my answer, right? How easy is this going to be for me?
Simple.
6 years later, yes. The road has been up and down. I went through burnout. I left entrepreneurship for a short stint because I needed to take care of my kids. They were navigating a lot during this time. They were little when I got divorced. Mm. So changing schools, my son having ADHD, there was so much going on that I was on that hamster wheel spinning and feeling like I was on rinse and repeat Groundhog Day and something had to give. So my business was the thing that I needed to give. So I needed to back off that. But I learned that slowing down many times will bring us forward faster. And then that's what I found happened for me.
Explain that, please.
So I just did a live about this today. Slow equals fast, fast equals slow. So many times, whether it's in business, relationships, or anything, when we're trying to move so fast to get somewhere, we actually move forward slower because many times it leads to burnout or it leads to rinsing and repeating the mistakes that we're making. So taking time to actually go slow it down and assess what's happening, being very aware of what we're doing, like what's working, what's not working, will actually get you forward faster because you're able to see what's not working and make those quick little tweaks to get you moving forward faster. So I always tell my clients, like every day before you close the office door and move to your family and do the things that you do in the evening, look back on your day, celebrate those small wins because we need to be celebrating as we're moving toward those big goals. Because otherwise, when we get to that big goal, it doesn't matter anymore because we haven't celebrated. It's been such a drudgery. But celebrating those small wins, what worked, but also what didn't work, so I can tweak that and change it for tomorrow and go and take action. So one thing I heard recently is awareness plus action equals amazingness. And I was like, oh, that's so good.
I like that.
And it's in order to become aware, we need to slow down.
So true in everything in life, right? Yeah. And there's so much urgency that it's hard because we feel like if we slow down or even stop for a second, the world's going to fall apart. And so we don't. And I get that because we are constantly scrambling. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit because, you know, this has been my whole life, I remember, is, you know, women can have it all. Women can be in the workforce. And we've been pushing. Mm-hmm. Women have been pushing for as long as we know to have equality so that we can work and we can raise our kids. Is this what we thought it was going to be? Is this what we wanted? And what are we really supposed to do it all?
It's hard, Dr. Cam. It's hard.
Really?
You know, when I started my business, I was like, I have these big goals and dreams for my kids and my why. I lost my camera there. My microphone. My why for starting my business was actually to be home with my kids. That was, they were my driving factor, because working two jobs, trying to run my business at night, getting them to school. When I got divorced, I didn't want their life to change. I could change, my life could change, but I wanted to keep everything as similar for them as possible, which meant keeping the home, which meant driving them and picking them up from school and taking them to their activities. And my business entrepreneurship was my path to that. So I stayed true to my why for years to keep it going, to keep me focused on it. But it's hard. Finding that work-life balance is extremely hard. Can we have it all? I think we can. But for just sharing my experience, I am a recovering perfectionist and recovering lone wolfer. It's hard for me to ask for help. And I think we can have it all as long as we're willing to share with people that we don't have it all together. We strive. Yeah. I remember when my kids were little, I put on the most amazing birthday parties for them. You know, I would make the table skirts out of tulle and everything. I would be up late making the, chocolate covered Oreo cookies and coloring them and everything. And at the end of the day, one, they don't really remember them. They remember a little bit of it. But it was this, striving for perfectionism and trying to make sure that everything's perfect, when at the end of the day, perfect is boring. Yeah. And letting people know that we need help as humans. We want to help other people. People like to help. And it gives, there's an acronym I heard recently or about a couple years ago that really inspires me. And I think about this whenever I feel stuck. I think of the acronym HOPE, help one person every day. If we can just lean out and help someone, it takes us away from our own stuckness, because we're serving someone else. And so by us not asking for help, we're actually being selfish, because we're not allowing someone else to have that gift to serve us and help us. So I think we can have it all as long as we're willing to let people in to help us when we need it, and then reciprocate that when they're in need.
I love that. I think one of the challenges, though, and I know both of us are moms that work full time with teenagers, right? And it is a constant battle to be able to balance that and find where I'm trying to put all the time I need and focus on my job to make it work, right? Because it is, building your own business is a 24/7 eight days a week job. And so is raising a teenager. Yeah. How do we do both of those successfully?
Well, if it's okay, I might shake this up a little bit. I don't believe in work-life balance. I gave that up because I was striving for that. And I talked about that a lot inside of my business with my clients. I'm like, let's create work-life balance, because I work with female entrepreneurs and I feel like it's really important. We're juggling a lot of hats every day, all day. Mommyhood never stops, right?
Right.
So trying to find that work-life balance was important, and I was always teaching that. Then I realized, I was having a conversation on podcast actually, and I realized I was like, you know what? I don't believe in that anymore, because I've been striving for this for so long. But work-life balance to me is striving for perfectionism. It's balance means a scale, and that means that the scale is always even, and that is impossible. It's going to teeter one way or the other at different times. So my new mantra or motto is work-life grace, because as women, we can put a lot of shame and guilt on ourselves for not having that work-life balance.
For everything.
by allowing ourselves grace and going, you know what? Sometimes my business is going to be priority, just because it is. Sometimes my children, my teenagers, my family is going to be priority, just because it is. And that's okay. And we don't get to put guilt on ourselves because of it. Just honor it. And what I do is, when I need to work, there's evenings where I'll be like, I have a call tonight. I let my kids know. I just say, mommy needs an hour, or if I need a self-care, every day it's a 2-hour pickup for me with my teenagers, because they're at two different schools, two different times that they get off. So it's 2 hours of driving them and then to and from their activities. I'll walk through the door and I'll be like, guys, I just need 20 minutes to lay down. Mommy needs 20, give me 20, and then we'll start dinner or whatever else. So finding that work-life balance or grace and throwing balance out the window is how I do things, and also communicating with them and just letting my teens know, this is where I'm at right now. And, I need this time for this, this time for this. And then what do you need? Let me know what your needs are and what time you need for certain things, so we can work together as a team.
I love this, and I want to dig a little bit into this because I think it's very important in including our teenagers in our pursuit of our dreams, because then it's not this versus separate things. Right. So how do we kind of bring those together a little bit so they aren't siloed?
I'm bringing my kids into it. My clients know my kids. My kids know my clients. They know my team. It becomes like family. When they were little, now they're teenagers, so they're not in my live streams or anything like that anymore, but they would always pop in, especially during COVID. They popped in. So it was easy to integrate them into my business. And they ask me questions. You know, sometimes I don't know if they fully understand what I do. But also, it's a digital world. Teens are on social media. So they see a lot. They get it. So I don't feel like we have to explain it too much.
Yeah.
Just because they're so immersed in it. I actually have learned a lot from my children because it's been in their life since they were born. But also just creating a team environment, because in the world there, you know, everything should be about team. Lone wolfing doesn't work.
Yeah.
So creating a team in the family unit is also important. I'm a single mom, like you shared. It's hard to keep it all together and balance house. Sometimes the house is falling apart because it's just not working in the moment. So one time, I remember it was last December, we went to dinner and I was done. I was just like, I know which road I'm going down and it's going to be burnout, and I get to nip this in the bud and figure out how to stop this hamster wheel and get off. And that's one thing good about bringing your kids into it, because I'm now self-aware. I can see ahead where I'm headed and I can stop it sooner, where years ago I hit burnout. I wasn't able to see it coming. So I sat down at dinner and I brought a notebook and I said, okay, guys, what's happening right now in our life isn't working. So let's figure out how to fix this and correct this so it does work. So we're all happy. Let's create goals and let's create a system inside the house of responsibilities so that we can share in the responsibility and we can create a happy home, a cleaner home, and a more organized home, and do this together where you're still able to focus on your schoolwork and have fun with your friends, and I'm able to get work done, but we're working as a team to make our goal. What goals do you have? I ask them, what do you want to do in the summer? What things do you want to do? What goals do you have for your grades? What goals do you have for your vacations, for your summer? What does it look like for you? And let's create a plan to get there.
Heidi, I love that this was about asking your teens what their goals were rather than saying, here's what we're doing. Here's the plan. Because I hear a lot of teens push back and I'm like, these are amazing vacations that are planned and these are amazing things. And they're like, but that's not what I want to do. Like, I want to just stay home and hang with my friends because I'm so stressed out and traveling is stressful, right? So we hear a lot of things going. So when your teens have buy-in, even when there's a lot going on, they're more engaged in it. And then you don't spend that time butting heads, which is very exhausting, right? So I think a big part of this from what I'm hearing from you is having that relationship with your teens so that they can work with you rather than them being an added stressor to your life. How do we get there?
It's opening the door for conversations. And I also believe in quality over quantity. Just this morning, it's interesting. I was starting to have like guilt around the time with my children because my daughter's going through some things. She's 15. She's navigating things, grades, anxiety, you know, stresses with school, and just, you know, changes going on inside with her hormonally. And I'm like, oh my gosh, am I not present enough? And I started going through that, you know, self beat up. And I'm like, okay, no, I don't get to do that now. Just when she's back home, how do I get to support her in a quality time versus quantity time? Because like you said, they want to be with their friends. They're at the point now where they want to, they're sowing their oats. They're finding their way in the world. And we can be helicopter parents, or we can choose to support them and help let them find their way. And I think many of us too, we want to create, like you shared, we create all these amazingness. We're like, oh my gosh, we're creating all these amazing memories. And our kids are just like, well, I just want to spend, like, my summer is my free time. And then it's back to school. I want to be with my friends. I want to be outside. Mm-hmm. I want to be doing this, and I think it's just having those conversations and allowing them to be part of it versus being told what they're doing.
You mentioned helicopter parenting, and I think right there, and this is something I see a lot, we are making more work for ourselves as a parent of a teen than we need to, because our teens want to do it on their own. They may not do it the way we want them to do it, but when we're trying to force them to do it the way we want and we're so ingrained in their life, that's exhausting. It takes a lot of our time and they don't want it. So how do we learn to just back off without feeling like we're not doing our job of being a parent?
I think we have to have conversations with other parents. My daughter, my daughter just got her permit and I am in freak out mode because she's going to start driving. And I'm like, when I wanted to have kids, nobody told me this was coming.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I'm going to be prepared for, I'm prepared for it. And it's already here. And I'm like, how am I going to let her go and drive on her own in a year? Am I going to have to follow her? And I'm like, that doesn't work. So sharing that on social media, parents wrote me and said, I hear you, mama. And, teenage years are hard. So having those conversations with other parents and allowing, being vulnerable and sharing, like, I don't got this right now. I need support or I need help. And, finding out what other parents are doing or have done, I think is super supportive. Having this conversation, what you're sharing on your podcast is hugely beneficial because this is all new territory for me with my kids. My son is 13, my daughter's 15. And every day I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, I feel like when we have babies, we're like, we don't know what we're doing, and people are like, as they get older, the problems get bigger. And I was like, no, I can't, it does. And I'm in it and I'm nervous and I'm scared. And just being able to share that and being open and honest about it and having conversations and not pretending everything's perfect, I think is super helpful.
Hey parents, feeling overwhelmed? You don't have to do this alone. Join the Thriving Parent Academy, where community support is everything. Member Tracy said, we all developed at an exponential rate together. And Carrie admitted, I didn't think I needed this, but it's a life game changer. Don't wait. Join us at thrivingparent.org and use promo code THRIVE20 for 20% off your membership. Let's thrive together. I think that is probably one of the biggest takeaways that parents need to hear is that we don't need to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. And the vulnerability in admitting that and asking for help, there is so much power in that. And I see that all the times when parents find out, I'm not the only one struggling. Mm-hmm. This is something everyone else is going through because everyone thinks their situation is like the unique, this is just us. And I'm like, I hear the same stuff every day, lots and lots. But people are afraid at when they have teenagers to ask for help because you're like, well, I've been a parent for 13 years. I should know now.
I should have it together.
No. You've been a parent of a 13-year-old for not very long. Mm-hmm. And that is a whole new thing, right? So asking for that help and finding that support in that and in our career is so key. I personally struggle with that. You want to look like you have it all together, but I have found when my daughter sees me struggling and working through it, she is more, she gains more respect for me than when I look like I have it all together all the time.
Yeah. And also realizing that children are different. Like my son is so different than my daughter. And it's not just because male, female, they're just two different humans. Even two girls, two boys, they're going to be totally different. So even though you were, maybe if you were a parent of a 13-year-old before, and now you've got another one coming up to 13, they're still completely different. And also what you shared, like letting them in, I think it's important. I think for many, I know for me, like I grew up thinking that, oh, there was never financial issues. We never had any problems. Life was, easy. And I think sharing with them that that's not the case and just being open and honest with your kids and having sit downs with them and, not putting our limiting beliefs onto them, but having the real conversations about life is really important too. So when they get out in the real world, they're not like, oh my God, like in shock about, oh my gosh, what is this? I don't know. I don't even know how to take care of myself now.
Yeah. Heidi, I had one, and I've shared this before, but I had a really, really deep difficult conversation with my teen daughter not too long ago about just that, the finances, right? And it was because she has all these things she wants to do. I want her to do all of those things, but there's a limit. Mm-hmm. And there was a struggle there because she was feeling like, oh my gosh, I don't like being told no about this. And she's not an entitled kid at all, but still it was like, this feels bad. And so we had to have that conversation. And the focus was, I want this for you too. Here's the situation. Let's solve it together. And it was so transformative in how she approaches things in just in general and how she looks and even asks for things now because she knows there's a give and take.
Right.
And it was really difficult, but it was really – so I agree with you that kids need to see the underbelly of what's going on, not pushing their stress on them, but just – having them brought into the solution.
Yeah, it's creating that team again. They feel part of the family in a different way. It's not like, oh, I'm just the child that knows nothing. They're actually part of the decision-making on certain things, not everything, but
right,
but some things.
Yeah. So how let's just say a mom is sitting there going, I really want to chase after my dreams. And I've been putting it off and putting it off because I want to be there for our kids. Because let's face it, no matter how much we do, the parenting rarely is balanced in terms of, you know, even I've often said as a single mom, I think I have it easier because I don't have an expectation that somebody will take on some of the load. I know it's mine. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have any resentment, right? It's just like, I just do it. But I think we have that and we have a high expectation of that. What do you say to moms that are going, I really want to, I have this dream, I have this passion, I want to go for it. I don't know how to start that without feeling guilty about my kids.
I think it's your responsibility to actually go after your dream because it teaches your children that they should go after their dreams too. By us holding back on our dreams, our children are not getting the benefit of realizing what's possible for them in many cases, and putting restrictions on them. Like the one thing about entrepreneurship that's beautiful that my kids get to see is they get to see the highs and lows, the ups and downs, but they also get to see me fighting for my dream and going after it because I want to create a better life for all of us. But at the same time, like I'm willing to take the risk because this is my passion that's driving me. I want them to go after their passion. I don't want them when I was growing, I think many of us at this stage, we're growing up. Like I remember I was told, go get a job that makes money.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you get a job. It wasn't go after your passion. It was go get a job that makes money. And I grew up in this space of you, even if you hate it, as long as you're getting that paycheck and that 401k and you're putting away for your savings, then that's all that matters. You get to, you can have fun when you're 65, but up until then, this is what life looks like.
Life sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, and that's what I did. And it was hard. And I'm like, if it's going to be hard, I'd rather be going after my passion and it be hard and at least get the benefits of the success down the road or when it, you know, when it comes and teaching my kids that I want them to go after their passion too. And when you go after your passion, you're going to stay on it and you're going to be successful because it's going to shine through. And you're able, you know, you, it's more fun too. It's a more fun journey. It's a funner. That's not a word, but it's a funner journey.
It's funner. It is a funner. I remember too when I left my desk job that made the money and had the 401k and the benefits and everything else and started doing this, terrifying. But I remember my daughter coming down and going, "Mom, it is so great to have you back."
Because I was excited
and passionate and just, even though I was scared, I loved it. And she, every day, she will say multiple times, like, I know I can achieve my dreams because I see you chasing yours.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
So that is like, every time I feel like giving up because it is hard, that's the thing. I'm like, what do I want my daughter to see in me? What do I want her to learn from me? Do I want her to see me give up or do I want her to see me like keep going and going? And that keeps me going because.
Yeah. And I love that you said that because there's so much mental illness going on and there's that, you know, that we need to, that needs to be addressed and it happens in our kids too, especially with the social media and the way the world is right now. But by going after your passion and you being lit up, you don't have, there's no depression. Like you're just on fire, you're lit up, and our kids get to see that. And that's going to, you know, I think that's just going to benefit them in the long run too with their mental health. But as far as answering your question around what steps to take, I would say first you want to have, I would bring your kids into it. I would have the conversation. Like, this is what mom's going to do. What do you think? Like, you know, you have any ideas? Because especially if you're going virtual, if you're going to no matter what you do, brick and mortar, or you should be online too, because you'll reach a broader audience. But they know a lot. So they can probably teach you a lot if you're new to the online space. That being said, come up with a plan of what it looks like. Start working through who your customer is, who it is that you want to serve, and getting really clear on that. That's really important. So when you start putting out your message and you start sharing what you do and all of that, you're really clear on the problem that your person has and the solution that they want and that you're providing for them. And I would say find someone that can support you. There's many groups out there. There's Facebook groups that you can join. There's mentorship that you can find. So just start doing your research and find someone. You definitely need an accountability partner. And I'm not talking your friend or your sister or someone that's going to let you off the hook. I'm talking about someone that's going to hold you to your goals and the steps that you're taking and make sure that you're doing the follow through. And that can come from a group of people who are wanting or who have similar goals as you do, or it can come from a mentor that can support you and guide you and making sure that you're making progress timeline that you want to accomplish them in.
Yeah. And that they're, and I think again, that is so key, because trying to figure it out on our own, when somebody has already spent all that time trying to figure it out and can guide you, is so helpful. And I think that's a big piece of this too, Heidi, and what kind of helps me too, is when you invest in yourself, you have that focus going, I've already invested. I've got to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I've already made the choice. Now I go. And so that investment in yourself shows that that's what's important. And I do think that when we do this, that when we focus on what we need and going after our dreams, the respect that we gain from our kids grows. Yeah. Like, we want our kids respect yourself, respect your dreams, do that. And that's where that respect comes from, and their internal respect, because they're learning. And I think it's so powerful, but it's so scary to do.
It is scary, but say yes to yourself and you're going to be showing your kids that they can say yes to themselves too.
That's so good. I love that. So what is one, although I feel like that was it. I was going to ask you, like, what's one key takeaway, but that was perfect. Like, that was the key takeaway right there, right? Is there anything else that's a key takeaway?
I will share one thing that I do. I just started doing it again. I'd stopped doing it for years, and I could sit in guilt over it and self beat up, but I'm like, no, I just get to bring it back. And when they were little and I was going through the divorce, I was now with them by myself. I would put, and you can do this with your kids in your teens, it's never too late to start. And this is helping them develop self-confidence and that self-awareness and that self-belief, is we call it signs, but I take a piece of paper, and with a Sharpie, I write my daughter's name, and I go, good morning, Hunter, or Hunter, you are loved, you are beautiful, you are smart, I love you. And I stick it on her mirror in the morning, and then I make one for my son that's different, but similar. Good morning, Luke, or Luke, you are loved. You are smart. You are talented. I love you. And they get to read it. And I just tape it there every morning. And I did it when they were little, and I went away. One time I forgot, I fell asleep and I forgot to do it. And my son comes out, mommy, you didn't make, where's my sign? And I was like, your sign? What sign? He's like, my sign, the sign on the mirror. And I'm like, oh, you like that? He's like, I love them. And then one time I went away, and I had my mom was staying with them, and I made some, and I had her do it in the morning, and he just couldn't believe it. He's like, mommy, how'd the signs come? You're not here. How did they appear? He had no idea she did it. And it was the cutest thing. But it's just something that, one, they look forward to. At first, my daughter's always like, but she's a teenager. She's a 15-year-old girl.
They still love it. They go
to college, even if they don't love it now, when they go to college and they don't have that anymore, they're still going to remember that. And they're still going to have those words to say to themselves. And it's always going to stick with them. And they know that they're loved and supported. Because many times as parents, I know for me, I can go in the uproar, you know, what the heck are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you doing this? And that's just a moment where they know that they're loved and appreciated. And also it's, they're reading it to themselves and they're going, and then, and you can, I'm going to start telling them, I'm just getting back into the signs, but I want them to do what Mel Robbins says, put the hand on the mirror and say to themselves, I love you. I want them to start doing that too, but I'm just getting back to the signs. So that's next. I'm not going to overwhelm them with all these steps yet, but we're going to get there. So yeah.
That is so beautiful. And I think even texting, like sending a cute little meme or text and just, and I'll do that with my daughter where I'll just send little things. But I remember there, you know, the word clouds, there's like things online where you can build a word cloud with all these different words. And I made one for my daughter with all the like positive things I saw in her. And I put it up on her door and it stayed up on her door until it like crumbled down years later. But what was so cool is the next morning I woke up and I had post-it notes all over my mirror of positive things she had written about me.
That is so
Those post-it
sweet.
Notes are still on my mirror.
Yeah,
they've been there for like 7 years. Like it was so remarkable. And so I those things really, really sink in. They really do, even when you get the eye rolls or anything else. So I love that. I think that is so important. And I think that helps us parents know we've taken the time and we've made a moment to know that our kids know, let our kids know that we think about them and love them, because days go by and we're so caught up that we'd forget to say something as simple as that. And they need to hear it every day from us.
Absolutely.
So that's beautiful. Heidi, how can people connect with you?
Oh, thank you. You can go to my website, HeidiShock.com. It's my name, .com. Also, you can find me. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Heidi Shock Coaching. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on TikTok. I'm everywhere. So just look my name up and you can find me. But Heidi Shock Coaching is the easiest way on Instagram. And then you'll find all the other places.
That's perfect. Heidi, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Dr. Cam. This has been amazing. And I love the word clouds. I didn't even, never knew about that.
I'll send you a link. They're free. They're so cool.
Good. I'm going to do it.
You can do different designs even. So yeah.
This has been amazing.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for this. It's been, and thank you for all you do. I think it's really important that parents feel supported, because I know for me, especially in the last few weeks, I feel alone in this journey. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with my, you know, navigating these teenage years. So thank you for doing this podcast and sharing your, and bringing people on that can support and sharing all of your advice and tips too. I think I'm so grateful.
Heidi, that means a lot. Thank you. And that's a wrap. Thank you, parents, for taking time out of your busy day to listen in. I appreciate you. If you found the episode enlightening, please like, review, and share with a friend navigating the teen years. Until next time, stay curious. Remember, there's always more to the story than what you see.